But Matthew chapter 14 this morning, and we'll start in verse 22. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, for the opportunity to be here again today. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds up that we would receive your Lord, word. And Lord, that I would just step back out of the way and be used of you, Lord, that you would just reign in this service, Lord. Have your way and will in it, Lord, that we take this word and apply it to our lives, that we draw something from it that would be pleasing to you. And we give you honor and glory for it all now. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever thought that you was in control of something? We drive our vehicles down the road. We think we're in control of that. But you know, if you run across a place in the... And I'm not going to stand behind here all day. If y'all know me very well, I'll be moving around. But if you drive across a big puddle of water after a big rain or something, you can hide your plane. You're not in control, are you? Have you ever thought you was just, I've got all the control of everything I need right here? Well, we think that we have control of every situation that comes our way, but you know what? There's one person that does, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at some things this morning. Anytime we have a storm or a trial that comes our way, the Lord is in control. And I want to put in perspective this morning, you all are facing a trial in your life today. As a church, as a whole, you're facing a trial, looking for a pastor. You're facing a storm in your life here. As a body of the church, you're facing that today. And I want us to look at some things. As I was trying to determine, with the help of the Lord, what to preach on, I've got another message tonight I think will be enlightening to us too. But I want us to look at this. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 21, if we look back behind that, we see where John the Baptist had been beheaded. He was killed. The disciples were facing a storm in their life. They had been, people were seeking out them. They're facing persecution. And then we see right after that that they went there and a little boy had his lunch there with him. He had two fish and five loaves of bread. He had his lunch there and he fed 5,000 people, Jesus did. The crowds were following him. And he fed a group of people there with just a little boy's lunch. And then we get up here and he says in verse 22, and he says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him into the other side, and while he sent them the multitudes away." Straightway, that's a sense of urgency. Something that's urgent. Have you ever faced a thing or a trial in your life that there's something urgent? Just a few months ago, Caitlin had an urgent need in her life. She was in pain. She was doubled over and she couldn't stand up. It was when it came all that rain. I can't remember the date right off, but it came all that rain and they missed a couple days of school. She came in there and she told Robin, she said, "We've got to do something." She took her to the doctor and they done a CT scan. And they said, "She's got appendicitis. She's got to have her appendix removed." That's a sense of urgency. We took her straight on to a nice longer hospital and they performed that operation right there that evening. Something that's urgent. That word straightway, and he says he straightway immediately sent them off and says in straightway he constrained them to get into that ship. And then verse 23 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." You know, he makes intercession for us all the time. Every day he's there praying for us. He's seated beside God the Father there now and he's interceding for us. He's making that intercession for us. In verse 24 it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." That word contrary means to be uncontrollable. They were in the midst of a storm. The ship was out of control. It's very rough. Mark chapter 6 and 48 says, "He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary." They were trying to guide that little ship in a direction to keep it safe and keep it upright, but it was out of control. Have you ever seen something in your life? Have you ever been in a situation where things were out of control? Things get out of control in your life. We face those struggles sometimes. And we realize, hey, we're not in control of this. And we need to turn it over to the Lord. We're not in control of those things. It says, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." He went unto them there walking on the sea and they seen him out there. They seen him out there. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit,' and they cried out of fear, 'Oh, what are we going to do?' There's nothing we... What is that out there? What can we do about it? But straightway Jesus spake unto them, He said, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Well, who is I? We can't see who you are out there. Who is I? And then Peter speaks up. He said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come onto the water. Jesus, if it's You, I want You to call me out there on the water. If it's really You, Lord, I want You to call me out there. I want You to call me out there because I want proof. I want proof. Have you ever come to a place in your life that say, I really need the proof to show me what to do? I really need some direction in my life? Y'all are facing that today. Y'all have come to a point where you need some direction. You need a decision to be made. Or y'all have to make a decision in your life today. As a church, as a whole, as individuals, there's decisions that you need to make in your life. And Peter, he wanted proof to make sure that this was the right thing. Was that really You, Lord? He says, and Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come into the water. And Jesus said, Come. We need to be careful what we ask for, don't we? Because the Lord's going to, if it's His will, He'll grant that to us. If it's His will, we need to be careful. Prayers are being answered. Doors are being opened. As I shared with you a moment ago, doors are being opened. And the Lord is answering those prayers. And He'll do those things to bring glory and honor to Himself. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I can just picture him climbing over the side of that little ship and stepping out there in the water. And as he begins to walk down through there, he sees Christ out there on the water. And Peter, the Bible begins to talk about, Peter starts to see the things around him. The waves and the storms start crashing in on him. The things around him begin he begins to focus on those things and not on Christ. And what does it say? He says, But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. He began to sink. The Bible says for us not to lean to our own understanding. He was looking upon Christ there as he began to walk on the water. He had faith that he could do those things, and he stepped out there. When we take our eyes off Christ, we begin to sink, don't we? We're not holding on to Him, but He's holding on to us. He's the one that has got us. Peter took his eyes off Christ and he began to sink, and it says he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Did Christ wait a little while before He done it? No, it says immediately He stretched forth His hand and called Peter. He stretched forth His hand and called him. He called him there, and it says in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and called him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? O thou of little faith. Where's your faith at this morning? Where's your faith at? Is it in what you drove in here this morning? Is it in your job? Is it in the title that you have on your job? Is it as a place that you live? Somebody else you know? Some of your friends? That's not where our faith should be grounded in, should it? That's not where our faith should be. If you look the word faith up, the definition of that is unquestionable belief in God. Complete trust or reliance. Sincerity. Complete trust or reliance. Faith comes by hearing in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and for the evidence of things not seen. It's not a hope-so faith, it's a know-so faith. I want to illustrate something for you. Out there at work, I'm a competent person now. I go in and have to give people permission to tie off to certain places for fall protection. Have to give them a place where it's stout enough that it'll hold 5,000 pounds if they were to fall. And they put on a harness. We've all been to training on it. We put on harnesses, and we got a lanyard that we put up there. We got these nice lanyards now that are retractable. They got a spring in there like a seatbelt that just pulls back. And that thing will lock instantly. And we take that and we put that on and we hang on with that and we tie off to the point that we've determined safe to hang on to. And we take a step of faith, don't we? It's either out there on that scaffold and on a piece of ladder or a walk board or something. And we're trusting in that piece of steel and that cable there to hold us if we fall. That's a step of faith, isn't it? But we know those things will hold us. I was at a safety seminar a couple weeks ago, and they put these, it's a virtual reality training device. You put this thing on your head, it's a hood you put on there, and they had me take, they give you two things that works your hands. It's two little things you put in there, and had triggers on it so you could grab stuff. And you see your hands out here in that screen. And they had a box of tools there, and you could pick up a drill or a screwdriver and different things like that. But it had you to take a harness, and you put that harness on, a fall protection harness. And you had to check the points on it, and you put that on, virtual reality. And then you hook that lanyard on that safety line up here. They said, okay, go out here and walk out this beam, and you're on a skyscraper. It looked pretty real to me. You're on a skyscraper. When you step out there, and you had a little place to walk out through there, and then they say, okay, I want you to step off the edge. And you look down, and it's 20 stories down. My mind says, well, that looks too far. I'm going to fall right here. But in the back of my head, I'm like, I'm still standing on flat ground. It's carpeted floor here. I'm standing right here. And you know how hard it was to take that step? But when I did, a thing popped up on the screen and says you was protected by fall protection. You know something? There's something greater than that. There's something greater than that. And His name is Jesus, the Lord of our salvation, our Lord and Savior. I've got greater faith in Him than I did that piece of stuff that I was watching there on that screen. I've got greater faith in Him than I have in any other thing that I own in my life. Any job that I've ever had, any position that I've ever had, I've got greater faith in Him. Peter had faith in Him enough to walk on the water there that night. Peter had enough faith in Him to take that step of faith. Unquestionable belief that I could step out there in the water and walk to Christ. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus though, and he began to doubt. How do we build our faith among believers? The Bible teaches us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we come together here this morning, you come in here for support in your faith. We all come here believing the same thing. We come to believe in the Word of God, the preach, the teach, and the love of Christ among fellow believers. We've come to build our faith this morning. Come to worship Him. Building our faith comes from teaching and preaching the Bible, study and fellowship with believers. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, when I had that mask on the other day, I was walking by my sight. I seen that I was going to fall 20-some floors. That was my sight. But I had faith that I know there's a floor there. But my mind was like, I don't know. But that faith is there. Walk by faith and not by sight. But as Christ stretched out His arm there, He says, and it says in verse 32, it says, "And when they come into the ship, the wind ceased." Just that quick, the wind had ceased. It had stopped. It's easy to worship God when things are going smoothly, isn't it? It's easy just to fall in a pattern. We show up for Sunday school. We show up for worship service. We come and we sing. And we get in a routine. And it's easy to fall into those things. But when a storm starts coming, it's like, I'm struggling. It's going to be tough for a little while. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a little bit different for a while. Things are different in your life for a little while. And things can get tough. The surgery, as Caitlin's surgery was going on, that was tough. Tough as a parent. It was hard on her because she didn't realize what was going on, how serious a surgery that was. Things can get tough. The disciples, they were experiencing a storm in their life. They were experiencing things. They were going through storms. And I want us to look at this. This can be an encouragement for us. It can be encouraging for us. I was reading a devotion the other day, and it's talking about how God uses different people throughout their lives to touch others. How we can begin to see and witness to people that face similar situations that we have been in. Not everybody here this morning is somebody that I have had a situation like you have. They may be somebody here that has had different situation in their life that you could witness to them better than I could. But we all experience different things. But these storms can be encouragement for us and for you as a church, and can be an encouragement for you to go forward and put your faith in Christ. I want us to look at some things. He brought them here. He brought them to this place. First of all, he said back there, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. He told them to get over there and to do it straightway, to get in there quickly. He knew what was going to take place. He knew there was going to be a storm out there on that sea. He knew that they was going to be struggling as they were out there. He knows, church, that you're going to struggle for a little while. He knows that there's going to be struggles, but he also knows that if you put your faith and trust in Him, He'll see you through it. He'll give you that guidance. He knows how strong you are. He'll get you through those things. James 4 and verse 14, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away." Brother Randall uses an example of the steam out there at work. We generate 1,500 pounds of steam out there. And you can, when that thing, a safety relief valve goes off out there, man, it's a big bellows of sound and steam just blowing out in the air. But you know when it gets out there just a little bit of distance? It's gone. It's just a vapor. It's gone. 1,500 pounds and then it's gone. Our life is the same way. It'll vanish away. But it says in verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." If it's the Lord's will, this is what we're going to do. Church, if it's the Lord's will, and it's His will for you all to succeed, it's His will for you all to accomplish great and mighty things. It's His will for a church sitting right here in Stanley Valley to accomplish great and mighty things for our Lord and Savior. There are storms of correction in our life. The children of Israel, they had to face storms of correction in their life. They were in bondage there in Egypt. They had been in bondage there for many years, and they were facing storms of correction. They are also, when God delivered them out into the wilderness there, He shown them that He provided them a redemption there, and He took them out there in the wilderness, and they didn't want to follow Him after they got out there. They wanted to turn around. They got there to the Jordan River, and He sent spies over into the land of Canaan and said, "Hey, this is all yours. It's yours for the taking. Go in there and get it." And they come back and said, "No, we're not going to do it." So they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness until a generation of them had died off. They had to spend 40 years out there. A storm of correction. Jonah's another picture. He didn't want to go in there and preach the word of the Lord unto those people. He jumped and he went in the ship and he got caught in a fish, didn't he? Got caught in a whale. Spent 3 days in the belly of that whale. A storm of correction in his life because of their disobedience. There's also storms of perfection. Storms of perfection that come through our lives. Storms of perfection. They're the ones that build our faith in Christ. They're the ones that build that faith. And we can see that in other believers. As Christ has worked in their lives, we see that He's built their faith, that they're strong and they trust Him with all their might and all their heart. The 23rd Psalm, a perfect picture of a storm of perfection. When that little lamb begins to wander off, what took place? The shepherd, he would try to bring it back into the fold, wouldn't he? When it kept wandering off, he would go and he'd grab that little lamb and he'd take his staff there, and he'd break its arm, or its leg. It's two, four legs. He'd break its leg. But what he would do after that, he would bundle its little leg up with his bandages there, and he'd put oil on it to soothe it, and then he would begin to carry that little lamb around. And he would feed that lamb, and he would protect that little lamb, and he would doctor that lamb, and he would care for that lamb. And that lamb began to say, "Hey, this shepherd cares about me. This shepherd loves me. This shepherd is trying to teach me something." And when that lamb was better, and when it began to, where it could begin to walk around, you know what? It was right there by his side. It never would run away again. It was always there. He helped that little lamb to grow in its faith, to trust in that shepherd. He helped him to do those things. Not only did He bring us here, but He's also praying for us. Let's look at Romans 8. Verse 31 for just a moment. Romans 8 and verse 31. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Creator of all things, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, our God, our Heavenly Father. If God be for us, who can be against us? The things that we face are just minor things. The things that we face. And look at the one who created all the things that we see today. Everything that we have. He gave us life. He says He breathed the breath into man there. When He created Adam out of the dust of the earth, He breathed breath into him. If God be for us, who can be against us? In verse 31 says, verse 32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." He's there praying for us today. He's there interceding for our behalf. For you all, for Vickers Chapel. For you, Aaron, for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us here, for each and every one of His believers, the children of God. He's interceding for us. He sees our need. And He sees what struggles we're facing. He sees those that are sick. He sees those that have needs. He sees those that are facing financial problems. He sees those that are facing spiritual struggles. Those that are facing marriage issues. Those that are facing job things and different things that are going on. He knows everything that goes on. The Bible says He knows even the intents of our thoughts before we ever begin to think those things. He knows our needs. He knows our fears. You think you could hide something from God? No. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He knows our fears. And He's in control of the situation no matter what. We think that things are out of control. But you know what? God's in control. We've seen things at work in different places and we think, what are they thinking about? Why are they doing something like that? And no matter what goes on there, you know what? God's still in control. He's still in control. I may have shared this with you before, but I worked at the press for about 12 years, and I got a letter. I knew they were shutting down. They told us they were shutting down. And I got a letter that said, last day that you're going to work here is July 31st. That's the end of your employment. I went down to the HR office, and I'd filled out all the information I needed to and got all that. They call it an exit interview. And I started looking for jobs everywhere. I went to the Tennessee Electric. I went to Kingsport City Schools. Had an interview over there. Had an interview at Tennessee Electric. Went to Scott County Schools over here. Had an interview for vocational teachers over there. Went to all different places. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'd put in an application at the Eastman several years before and took the test and everything. And I thought, what am I going to do? And it came up to the end of July. And I got to work another week. And then I got to work another week. And I went to work out there on August the 14th. I'd worked the Friday at the press and went to work on Monday at the Eastman. God was in control. It wasn't something I was doing. It's something that He was doing. He already had it in the works. He already had that situation planned out. He already knew what was going to take place. He had those things in control. He is always in control. No matter what it is, He's in control, church. It says He will come to you. He will come to you when you call on His name. What did Peter do? He called, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. I like this over, this is one of my favorite places right here, Isaiah chapter 43. Let's turn over there for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 43. I'll read verse 2 to you. It says, When thou preparest when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest... Well, let me stop right there. When you pass through the waters... I love that story where Joshua takes the children of Israel up there to the river of Jordan. And it's at flood stages in that time of the year. And the rains had come and the river was over its banks. And if you think about the Holston River down here, just a few months ago, that thing, it was up over its banks. It was in the roads in certain places and it was up there. It was almost, you couldn't have waded across it. You couldn't have got across through there. And if you picture the Jordan River like that, at flood stages, and he takes the children of Israel up there. And God told him, he said, you get the priest. Get those 12 priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant out there. And when they step into that water, it's going to stop. They trusted in God. They get up there to the water, those priests did. And it says when the heels of their feet touched, the water stopped upstream. And all the little streams that come in at that feed into it, they stopped. And it heaped up there. It didn't overflow and run over the sides on down through there. It stopped. And all the children of Israel, they crossed that river. They crossed over there. God was in control of that situation. They crossed over that thing. And then they got on the other side. And then it says, and when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Go over there to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children. They wouldn't bow down to the old king's statue. They wouldn't bow down to what he wanted them to do. And they threw them in the furnace. They bound their hands up, and they threw them in there. And the king had them stoke that thing up hotter than it had ever been, and it killed the men that was throwing the wood and the stuff in there to burn them up. And they were still in there. And the king, he looks in there, and he says, I thought we put three people in there. I thought there was three in there, but no, I see four men walk. They're walking around in there. He's seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there, and our Lord and Savior was in there with them. They were in there talking about, look at what the king's tried to do. Our Lord, look at what you've done here, Lord. He burnt the ropes that they were bound up with, and when they come out of there, they didn't even smell like smoke. That's our Lord and Savior. He's in control. You might think, well, that was back in those days. It's the same kind of people right here that we have sitting here today. There was nothing any specialer about those than we are here today. No degree, no special name. It's because they trusted in the Lord. Because they put their faith in an almighty God. That they believe He can accomplish great and mighty things in their life. Church, He can accomplish great and mighty things in your life right here in this little valley right here. I've lived here almost all my life. I just live across the road up here. And God can do great and mighty things right here. We don't have to be somewhere over in another country. We don't have to be in some big city. And you know what? I'm not too fond of those. I've been in some big cities. I'm not too crazy about those places. God can work great and mighty things right here. He can start a revival. You know, it says it just takes a spark. It just takes a little spark to start a fire. He can start it right here. He can do those things. The flame shall not kindle upon thee. That's amazing because if you're all out there, y'all camping this way, he's telling me there's camping this way. You go out and build a fire tonight, you go out there and build a fire, when you go inside the camper, what's going to do? You're going to smell like smoke. It smells good sometimes around the campfire. But you're going to smell that on you, aren't you? But you know, those children didn't have any smoke smell to them and all, hadn't even singed their hair. But he had killed those men outside. You know what that done for the king and all those other men that was around there and Daniel and all them that was there? It began to show respect for a great and mighty God. They began to see, hey, my faith just got even stronger because see what God had done for them? And begin to follow God. He'll help us grow. Help the disciples grow. Help those Hebrew children grow. help the children of Israel begin to grow in their life. It'll help us grow. James 4 says, 4 and 8 says, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. We draw closer to Him, He's going to get closer to us. We begin to have that relationship with Him, begin to trust Him even more, and He'll give us that, help us to build that faith. And not only that, but He'll see us through. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You think when when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of that furnace that day, what do you think? Man, they probably felt like, oh my goodness, how great and mighty God we serve. Look what He has rescued us from. Look what He delivered us out of that fire. We're going to go and serve Him even mightier and stronger and more trusting in Him. He can do that for you all, church. Put your faith in Him. Put your trust in Him. And you can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Not only that, but He'll see us through it. He'll see you through it. He's not going to leave you hanging out there to dry. He's not going to leave you just hanging on the edge of a cliff somewhere. He's not going to leave you just standing right there with your mouth open. What are we going to do? He's going to see you through it. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Sat down at the right hand of God the throne of God. He will see you through it. How many times have you ever had some friends along the way? I had friends through high school some, and I've not seen them since. Had some buddies I used to fish with and haven't seen them in many years. Had buddies I've worked with in the past, don't see them anymore. But you know what? He said He would never leave us or forsake us. Jesus is always going to be there. He says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever God starts, He's going to complete it. He didn't start this church here just to be pushed aside. No, He started this church here to complete something. To complete a great and mighty work that would bring glory and honor to Him. He's going to do that. And it's going to take us being a willing vessel. It's going to take each and every one of you praying and working together to accomplish those things. To build each other's faith up. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever He starts, He's going to complete. You know what? We may fail, and man will fail. But God never does. He never does. He always succeeds. As they get a song of invitation together this morning, as they come to get that together, I want to ask you a question. What kind of storm are you in? Are you facing a storm this morning? Are you facing some kind of trial? Sure, the church is in what I would call a storm. But are you facing that storm today in your life, individually? Is there something that you need to come and to ask God to say, Lord, I trust You. I want You to take control of this. I put my faith in You. Would you be one to come this morning and put your faith in Him? And say, Lord, I probably doubted You. And I know You can see us through this. Would there be one like that this morning? Maybe there's one here this morning that says, I don't know that Jesus that You're talking about. I don't know that one. Let's all stand, every head bowed for just a moment as they begin to sing a verse of this. I'll give you that opportunity to come this morning and just to lay it down here at the altar. And trust the Lord with it. Father, we thank You for this time this morning, Lord. I thank You for the opportunity and the open door that You've given us here. I pray that You'd be with each one of us come out today, Lord. I pray that You touch our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'd be with this church, Lord, that You give them the victory over these storms that they're facing. I pray that You touch them and give them the faith and increase their faith, Lord, that they may be stronger and build their strength and their trust in You. Lord, I pray that You just be with us today and bring us back tonight. Lord, help us to focus on the message that we're having tonight. And Lord, touch our hearts that we might learn something from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.